Good morning, everyone. The reading today is taken from Genesis 28, verses 10 to 19. Well, actually 10 to 20. In this reading, Jacob runs away from home, and aided by his mother, Rebekah, he had just tricked his father into giving him a blessing, which was rightfully due to his older brother, Esau. Now, Jacob had to leave home to escape being killed by his brother, who was furious. Rebekah suggested that Jacob go to Haran, where her brother lived, and which was far enough away that Esau would not chase him there. Genesis 28, 10 to 20. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, who said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey, I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. This stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Here ends this reading.
Dear friends, good morning. Annyeong haseyo. Today's reflection will be different. So I have invited three congregation members from Northwood to share a faith story during the reflection time. And I hope you will be as delighted as I am to listen to faith stories from Gina Williams and Audrey Hall and Kay Park. Last week, in the parable of the sower and the soils, we heard about walking in someone else's shoes and about being seeds of hope for each other. I hope that the stories we share will help us to see the world differently and to see from someone else's perspective. I hope we'll all be encouraged when we're proud of our friends and their faith journeys. I shared a picture last week of a Bible with many green and red notes that showed my old way of agreeing or disagreeing with certain passages of the Bible, like today's. But after studying at the Vancouver School of Theology, now I see it all as rich, deep soil to dig into and learn from. Today's passage from the Gospel of Matthew, with its gnashing teeth, might be one I would usually skip. It talks about judgment, the devil, sin, throwing all evildoers into the furnace of fire, where there will be gnashing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. This is not my usual liberal Sunday morning love story. But many ministers this week are wrestling with the problem of evil. I'm not usually ready to give evil that much of my time and attention. I'd rather wrestle with the challenge of resisting evil and overcoming root causes of sin. It's okay if we've got different ideas about how to interpret this passage. There's room for that in the United Church. But this week, I have been reminded that each of us can be both saint and sinner. There is enough challenge in my own life to overcome my own brokenness, fear, lack of love, selfishness, and unhealthy patterns of behavior. I don't need to seek out greater causes of sin than the unfortunate human nature that exists in all of us. Yet, we are called to be better, to do better, love more, and change our ways. To become a true disciple of Jesus, I challenge myself to say, I'm sorry. To reach for loving compassion rather than anger and scorn or defense. I reach for that inclusivity, the inclusive diversity that Jesus modeled, even though I know I'm going to make mistakes. I saw a bumper sticker this week, it was a parable about Jesus and diversity, that diversity is a sacrament, because it points the way to God and shows God at work in the world. I like that one. Diversity is a sacrament. We need to get uncomfortable. Oh, actually, we probably already are uncomfortable. We need to get comfortable with being imperfect and keep loving others even when it hurts. So here's my little short faith story for today, inspired by Jacob, who ran in fear from his brother Esau. Personally, me, I have many brothers and sisters in Ontario, and sometimes I am very angry at them. The last time I visited in December, a year or two ago, I was getting more and more worried, deeply disturbed by the idea of greeting and spending time with a brother who had publicly scorned me in an email that was copied to 45 members of my family. I had asked him to stop criticizing the gay community, the LGBTQ community. I'd asked him to create some space for our children to explore and identify their own gender as they saw fit. And I was so angry and hurting from his response. I didn't know how I could possibly hug him or kiss him or even say hello and stay in the same room. So I prayed. And I also studied because I had to write my Hebrew Bible exam before I flew to Ontario. And on the exam was the passage where Jacob reunites with his brother Esau when they were both adults with families. Despite fear and in faith, Jacob and Esau met with enough grace from God that no one killed anyone. That was good news. And they gracefully received each other's families. They did hug. And then carried on living in their own ways. Well, somehow, I experienced God's grace on my journey home. From the airport and between flights, I phoned my brother. I haven't got a clue where that idea came from. I'm thinking it was God. My brother answered, and we had a normal conversation. And it helped me picture being together, even in the same room. I enjoy hearing my brother's voice, and I disagree with him regularly on almost every topic. But we both love our children, and sometimes I can remember that the truth is that I love him too. Despite the hurt, the pain, and the anger, I love him too. God's grace can work miracles, especially when we're alone in the wilderness, or fighting with a sibling, or a teenage child. God's grace will work miracles exactly when we need them most. And I give thanks for enough open faith in our lives to leave room for God's active grace. So, let's hear more stories from our friends about how their faith has created room for God at work in their lives. Gina's going to come up first.
I found myself saying yes before I knew what I was actually getting myself into. Because I don't really like talking that much. I know that doesn't seem to make sense to most of you. But I am your resident recluse, okay? So the recluse is here. What I'm about to share with you is going to be mildly shocking. Not that I haven't shocked you in the last almost 10 years, but this is going to be shocking. At one point in time in my life, I lost all faith in God, particularly a good God. And during this period of time in my life, you know, you mentioned fighting with your siblings, your brother. I fought with God. That's what I did. Every Friday night, instead of letting people know I didn't do Sabbath anymore, Sabbaths, Friday night to Saturday night, I just stayed in my room and vented and told God how much of a misogynist he was. And one day I thought, you know, okay, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read a little bit just to wrap my head around this insanity. And I was reading passages. I don't really need this. I was reading passages about how when people would offer a sacrifice, how it was a sweet smell going up to heaven. And at that moment, I was filled with rage, and I threw the Bible across my room. Yeah, you heard right. I threw the Holy Bible across my bedroom. I would not recommend doing this, but that's how I felt. I was just enraged that a good God would allow these innocent animals to be destroyed. I was angry. But you know what's sad, too, in another way, now that I'm on this side of things, most of us aren't so sad that Jesus did that. He did that for us. But you know, we have more compassion on the little animals than we do with people at times. Do you know what I mean? We look at the news, we hear these stories of what's going on right now, and it's easier to turn a blind eye than to animals. Anyway, nevertheless, I thought at that moment I was going to be struck down dead. I mean, this is the Old Testament. I threw the Bible. The next logical thing to do for God to do is strike me down dead. Now that just makes sense. He didn't. And what I wanted to encourage you today, two things. One, God is not afraid. God is not afraid of your difficult questions. God is not afraid of your anger. God says, come, let us reason together. He wants you to bring all that angst, that pain, that hurt, that anger, everything you've ever had pent up in you all these years. And he says, bring it. Bring it. Give it to me. Let's talk about it. Let's have these conversations. Let's have these fights. Let's have these fights. Because I love you. I love you with everything in my heart. And I will see, I will help you see one day why this had to be. I know as Christians, the United Church is not the only church that wrestles with blood. The blood of Christ, the blood of Lamb. The Lamb, behold, the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world. A lot of you don't know where that is. That's in Revelation. Okay, my point is, these are difficult things, but the point is, when you get to know what redemption is about, how God saves us from how we see ourselves, when he saves us from tragedies that could happen, the fact that he died for us gives us that opportunity not just to be redeemed here where we can live in harmony with each other, but to be redeemed where we can have eternal life. That's what that is actually all about. And I know I could preach a sermon on it, but I won't. I've been limited to 5 minutes, and this recluse is more than happy with that. So I just wanted to challenge you and share with you, we don't have to give lambs and animals and turtle doves if you're dirt poor. But we offer our hearts. We give him our hearts now, right? And in turn, he lives in us where we can live anew each and every day and pay it forward. Amen. Amen.
You rock. Thank you. Well, you come from a fine tradition of Jacob wrestling with God. God blessed Jacob, struck him in the hip and gave him a pain and for the rest of his life, but blessed him at the same time and gave him a new name, Israel, God's people. We have that fine tradition of wrestling with God, and thank you for sharing your story, Gina. Audrey, would you like to come up now? Oh, there you are. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Like Gina, Marie asked me last Sunday if I like talking to people. And I said yes, not realizing she meant I had to talk to everyone all at once. Anyway, here goes. My name is Audrey Hall. A few days ago, I had the opportunity of attending a lecture where we viewed and discussed an Iranian film, The Color of Paradise. This is a fable of a child's innocence and a complex look at faith and humanity. A blind boy, Mohammed, is on summer vacation from his special school. He is about 8 years old. His father, Hashim, is ashamed and burdened by his son's blindness and is therefore reluctant to take him for the summer. However, the headmaster convinces him to do otherwise. Hashim, a widower, has plans to marry a local girl and does not want the girl's family to know of Mohammed's disability. It may be seen as a bad omen. Mohammed happily roams the beautiful countryside with his two younger sisters. He loves the nature surrounding him. He touches and feels and listens acutely to the various sounds of the animals and birds, even imitating them. At school, he has learned to read in Braille, keeping pace with his sisters. Fearing the bride-to-be's family will learn of his son's blindness, Hashim takes Mohammed to spend time with a blind carpenter. This man becomes a mentor to the boy. He tells the carpenter he wants to see God. He believes God does not love him and thus made him blind. Grandmother comes into the story. A touching scene when the two meet. Their faces light up with love. When Granny dies, a bad omen, the wedding of Hashim and the local girl is called off. Hashim is an angry, unhappy man, completely centered on his own plight with so many misfortunes having befallen him. I believe he too desperately wants to feel God. This is as much of the story I can relate to you for now. The ending is mystical and spiritual, allowing you to come to your own conclusions. Hashim does realize his love for his son, finally. Perhaps heaven intervenes. Perhaps God has a change of heart. We must believe that God is everywhere present, omnipresence. And we are reminded of this in our lives by the tiny flame of the Christ candle, which burns in front of us during worship. Even in times of stress, disappointment, failures, we know God's presence. It is called grace. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Audrey. That's great to be reminded about God present in our lives, Christ's candle as a reminder to that. However we wrestle with our faith, wrestle with our stories, God is present there, ready to bless us. Let's hear a faith story from Kay.
My name is Kay Park. I came to Northwood 3 years ago. I grew up in Seoul, South Korea. I came to Toronto in 1976 and moved to Vancouver in 1991. If you study God's words diligently, then your compassion for your neighbor will come out from your heart naturally. And you will want to live for other human beings, be kind, want to help others, and be quick to forgive. But first, do you love yourself as you are and accept yourself as you are? Like, I'm not talking about narcissism here, but as one of God's creatures. I started to like myself not too long ago. I learned that it is very important to heal your wounds. We have all experienced hurting and being in pain, like since we are young. For healing, we can always ask for help from the Holy Spirit. Amen. The more you heal your emotional body, the more unconditional love will take place in your heart. The more unconditional love will take place in your heart, the more you heal your emotional body. God bless you all.
Thank you, Kay. Thank you so much for showing us your vulnerability. And we all have those places crying out, needing to be healed, those places where we need to be challenged and where we need to grow some more. God is with us, and that healing is being offered to us. Trust in God, reach out for God, and know that God is reaching out for you.